what was it that actually forced the collectivization forward as a coercive policy as opposed to a voluntary policy, or as opposed to waiting and not forcing the collectivization through? The 1929 crop was good. The harvest was good. It was not a matter of drought in 1929. It was the grain procurement that fell short. To support the industrial plan, which was very ambitious, agriculture had to be made to give up enough of its produce to guarantee the possibility of industrial development. So they needed a lot of grain to be procured in order to support the industrial plan. They did shut down markets to prevent the peasants from selling their grain at higher prices in the private markets. But it was not markets, but the ineptitude of government agencies that made the targets unattainable. Historians say, and it shows in the official documents of the time, that it was not a matter of the peasants selling the grain in markets that was the main problem, or black markets and so forth. It was the ineptitude of government agencies that made the targets unattainable. The industrial plan was the top priority of the party. However, production of certain natural resources such as coal fell in 1929, and this affected all of those industries which relied upon coal, starting with iron and steel, and then all those factories that required iron and steel, and so forth, all down the line. Production of coal fell, costs rose, and there was a 20% underfulfillment of the planned targets of iron and steel. And this again aggravated the shortages all down the economy because producers could not substitute for iron and steel. They could not change their prices to prioritize use of the materials. So it led to a spiraling waste and work stoppage with factories stopping work all in the South and in the Urals for lack of materials. There was also a shortage of agricultural products, particularly cotton, which closed down textile factories for 75 days. Train tracks couldn't be repaired because of a lack of rails. And again, despite the hunger, the threat of famine, there were hundreds of wagons full of grain all around the country rotting because there was nowhere to put it. There was no storage facilities and a lack of transport. The response from the peasants to all of this was riots and revolts. Again, the revolts were particularly bad because the peasants could see that after their grain was seized and brutally confiscated from them, it was sitting there rotting away in the railway wagons, in churches and schools and so forth, for lack of a better storage space. After the revolts, the state responded with use of tanks and bayonets and collectivization, which was often used as a punitive measure or to ensure that the peasants were unable to destroy or hoard the food because they were collectivized, although then the collective farms also did engage in hoarding. It was not so much that the state was insistent upon spreading collectivization fast across the country as it was a response to the problem of trying to ensure procurement of the grain. And what were the consequences in the longer term? Well, this is just one example. Loss of livestock was actually greater due to collectivization than due to World War II or the drought of 1946. So if you look at the 1928 total and individually number of livestock and horses, sheep, pigs, and cows, and you compare it to 1941 before the worst of World War II affected livestock numbers, and if you look at it in 1950, you can see that these are the results of collectivizing